Last time somebody gave me water, I spilt it on a microphone. I wouldn't want that to happen.
No.
I had to get it down here. Brother Cromwell had it way up here, I tell you. He sounds like, his name sounds like a villainous English general. I don't know. But I appreciate his lessons, though. Wasn't that good? That blessing. And I appreciate that. And it's good to be here. Thank you, church. And I'll address the church just for a second. That's all right. And I appreciate you guys supporting our family all these years. And you've been a blessing to us and a help to us. And we're very thankful for that. And we trust that you just keep praying for us as we are seeking God's will. Amen. And what the Lord's got for the next steps there for us. And it's good to see Brother Plato. Amen. Last time I seen him, I was preaching for him in Kansas. So he didn't remember that at all. So that was the most forgettable message anybody's ever preached, I guess. But that's all right. Now, I'm going to mark it up to him being a little bit aged.
Amen.
Now, last time I seen him, I wasn't great. So he didn't know who I was. He's like, who's this old guy trying to say who am I? But it's good to have two shepherds here together. Isn't that a blessing? And last time it was two shepherds were together, there was a great message brought, I believe. Jesus was going to be bored. And so hopefully they'll get us some good messages this week. But it's good to be here. Let's take our Bibles. We're going to be turning to the book of Psalms in chapter number 105. Chapter 105. And I trust that God will help us now. I actually don't even need this, do I? I got this on here, so that's good. And but thank you, church. Appreciate this church put this on. What a blessing that is. And I got up at about 5 o'clock. I thought, boy, we got a long drive.
Yep.
And the Lord was good to me.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for the time alone. And when you're in the ministry, and I've been in the ministry almost 30 years, and you enjoy some of the time alone, don't you? When you get your time by yourself, you enjoy some of those times. And but let's all stand. We'll read just a few verses. And I know he's wanting to get somebody else in, I believe. And so that usually lets the preacher know, the next preacher, that he needs to preach a little shorter. And I'm pretty short preaching. So it should be all right. I've already made one scream and leave it, amen. Maybe everybody won't do that before it's over with. Psalm 105, let's read this together. The Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord and call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord."
Amen.
"Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore." Now we'll jump down just a few verses of scripture, and I want to read just a few of these. The Bible says, moreover, verse 16, "He called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that His word came. And the word of the Lord tried him, and the king sinned and loosed him, even the rulers of the people. Let him go free, made him lord of his house, ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies." I'm going to stop reading there for time's sake. I just have a thought I want to give to you this afternoon or this morning. And trust that God will take it and use it for you. We'll all pray. We'll ask God to help us. You pray for me. I need help, and I'll pray for you. Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you, oh God, for saving us and calling us out, putting us here before the men, the brethren, Lord, the brothers and sisters alike, oh God, and that we may have a good time of fellowship and refreshing. Thank you for the precious word that's been shared, and Father, I pray, help us to forsake all, oh God, for your service, for your call. Lord, it is your will. Oh God, oh God. Help us to see it, Lord, today. Oh Father, I pray that you bless this word. Help this dear church, help this dear preacher. God, may these and we, Lord, take these messages back with us. God, that we may remember you. Oh, Father, in all you wish to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. What a precious chapter this is in the Bible. The Bible calls for them to give thanks. For Israel to give thanks unto the Lord. He said, call upon his name. That is, reverence him. That is, lift him up and acknowledge him as God and ruler of your nation, of your lives, of your family. It is not only a call in this chapter to reverence him, but to reveal him. He said, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous, this word here, wondrous, what a special word, separated, distinguished, something that only God can do, that Hebrew word, law, only the Lord, the things that only God can do in your life, lift him up and speak of these things and talk of them in the church house and talk of them outside door to door. Let people know what's happening in your life. Let them know what's happening in your church. We need some zeal and some excitement again. Hey, we've let the old world water us down and throw the cold water on the fire, so to speak, and put us out. We need God's touch, amen, again. Oh, let's speak of him, reveal him, rejoice in him, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice. Notice that. To rejoice that seek the Lord. I've never seen anyone that sought the face of God that did not have a happiness in his heart. I stood up before the church the other day. I've said this before. I was out and preaching. I preached over 300 churches while we were on deputation. I was at this little old church over in Georgia. I walked in. The preacher said, you got 20 minutes. I said, that's all I need. Thank you for the time. And he was about, I don't know, in his 70s, late 70s, I guess. But man, what a sour spirit that preacher had. Boy, he is acting like he just swallowed a whole handful of lemons. Amen. And he just didn't seem like he wanted to be there. I didn't know if he got burnt out. I don't know if somebody sent him a rotten letter. How many of you preachers ever got a rotten letter before? I've read them many times. Amen. How awful my children are, how awful my wife is, how mean I am and hateful I am and disgusting they are of me and my family and my ministry. And let me tell you, sometimes when you sit back and read some of those letters, you want to throw your hands in the air, go, what in the world's it all this for? I just want to quit and just leave it all for somebody else. Amen. But let me tell you something. Hey, for those that'll seek the face of God, they'll have a little bit of happiness about them no matter what letter comes their way, no matter what the words come their way. Hey, listen, those that seek God will have a little bit of rejoicing in their step. Amen. I just believe that, don't you? So just smile and keep going. Amen, amen. Y'all still with me, aren't you? Y'all had to give me a minute. I'm revving up to where I can preach. Just give me just a second. Y'all know how it is. Some of you preachers, you gotta sometimes crank down on it a little bit for it. Get started. He said, seek the Lord and His strength return. There's a call to return to Him. Seek the Lord in His strength and seek His face. That word evermore, tome, continuance, constance. Yeah. Yeah. He said, seek Him consistently in your life. Amen. When you wake up, when you go through the day, right, when the hard times come and the trials are there. Oh, listen, seek His face. Amen. And do it on a continual basis. Right. Let your children know you're still going to serve Him no matter what. Amen. Let your church know you'll still go and still continue on no matter what. Amen. Let your people know it. Let your grandkids know it. Right. We'll just keep serving the Lord and it doesn't matter what happens. Right. Then there is the call to remember Him. Oh, read it with me. Verse 5, remember His marvelous works that He hath done. Oh, here is that wondrous again, repeated back to us in another word, wonders. Oh, His wonders, the things that only God can do. God has done. Amen. Oh, and the judgments of His mouth. We find at this point when the psalmist brings them back to a place of memory lane. Yeah. He says, I want you to remember how good I've been to you. I've been real good to you, this nation. Yeah. You were no nation. Yeah. Till I found you.
That's right.
Your family was no family.
Yeah.
Oh, children, rejoice that your mom and dad's name have been written down in glory. That someone was praying for you.
That's right.
He built a home. Oh, remember what He has done.
Amen.
He built a church. Yeah. When you just went there and started to preach or felt a calling, and God built a church.
Amen.
And He used you.
Amen.
Oh, your seed of Abraham, His servant, your children of Jacob, His chosen. He is Lord, our God. His judgments are in the earth. Hey, He speaks first of all. Remember His sovereignty. He is sovereign. He is the Lord, our God. He is. It is Him. There is an assurance here, my friend, that everyone that is blood-bought and born again ought to know and remember Three times we'll find Satan speaks in the Bible. If you study your Bible audibly, three times. The first time he condemns the scripture with Eve, "Thou shalt not surely die." The second time he criticizes the servant of Job. And the third time he begins to challenge our Savior. And he said, "If thou be the Son of God." I ain't worried about an if. It ain't about an if. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. I don't have to worry and wonder. I don't have to question or pray about it. I know who he is. I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep me to that day. I believe it, don't you? He is sovereign. He is Lord. He says he's your God.
Right.
He is sincere. He hath remembered his covenant forever. God didn't forget you. Even when you were enslaved there in Egypt, God did not forget you.
Right.
God didn't forget your church. He didn't forget your family.
Right.
He didn't forget your kids.
Amen.
He hasn't now. God has not forgotten you.
Amen.
He is sincere. He hath remembered. That word remembered means to mark. Put an X upon it. They are mine and I've called them. He is also selective which covenant he made, verse 9, with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law unto Israel. And remember, Israel is that of Jacob, and his name was changed to Israel. This is the same Jacob that you'll find in Romans 5 when the Bible says, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." And this is not that God would hate any man, for God is love, as the brother just told us. But rejected, he is hated, he has rejected him in the seed line of Christ. He said, "He is the one that I have rejected, and it is Israel, it is Jacob, the supplanter, the deceiver. It is he that I have put in place. It is he that I have put in position. This is God. I have done this thing." He is very selective. Let me tell you, he's put you right in the place where God would have you be. He has put you right in the church, right in the pulpit. Hey, we might as well not sit back and go, "I don't know, God has it, done all I hadn't seen the amount of people saved in this year or this 2 years or this 3 years." Hey, all of a sudden pastors start taking themselves out of their places and doing different things. See, God's selective. He's the one that's in control. Stay with me here just for a moment. I want you to see this. "Saying unto thee, I will give the land of Canaan a lot of your inheritance." And this is exactly what he did. He'll bring Jacob and his 70 back into the land of Goshen out of Canaan. And he'll after 230 years, build up a nation and bring them out and call them across that river Jordan and bring them unto this place of Canaan again. Hey, he'll do exactly what he will. Amen. Because he's God. So if you're wondering what's going on in your ministry, remember, God's just being God. Amen. Y'all get that later and you'll rejoice in it. Amen. The Bible says, when they went from one nation to another, verse 3, one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved king for their sake, saying, "Touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm." Moreover, he called, notice this, and we find in verse number 16, he begins to change thoughts. And he's telling them about how that he has done what he what he did. And there's two things that are essential for notation in this chapter. And I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going to be done this morning. Stay with me. Hey, number one, God prepared a man for a people. The Bible says, and he sent a man before them, verse 17, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant whose feet they hurt with fetters. Notice the pain here and then the patience until the time that his word came and the word of the Lord tried him. And let me tell you, in the ministry, there is going to be some pain. There's going to be some adversity. There's going to be some conflict. We see the pain, but we see the patience. God said until the time. That was God's time, Brother Platon. Until God said, this is the moment, and God said, this is the move, and this is what I am doing. And he shows us in these verses, and I don't have time to deal with everything. He shows us a friendless man in Joseph in verse number 17, a fettered man in verse 18, a forgotten man in verse number 19. We find that there in verse 20, though we find this freed man, he said the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free, and he made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. In verse number 22, 23, we find Joseph the favored man. Hey, God through the life of Joseph was preparing a man for a people. He was preparing a man for a place. And let me tell you something, friend, maybe God has just brought some of you preachers to a certain place in a certain time, and he has prepared you for this in your life.
Amen.
But that's not what I want to preach on this morning. Stay with me here. Not only we find that he prepared a man for a people, but he prepared a people for a man. Now, I look at these verses, and let me tell you, several weeks ago, I've been going through these verses. Brother Cromwell, I read through the first part of this chapter, and then I got to that verse, and I thought, what in the world's God doing? Because we find the greatness of God and the goodness of God and the glory of the God, Brother Shepherd. We find that the Lord is showing himself great and mighty and strong and true. He said, give thanks and call upon his name. And the people said, amen. That's where y'all supposed to say amen.
Amen.
Say amen. Amen. All right, that's wonderful. Y'all doing good. I want to make sure you're awake. He said, talk ye of him, and all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Give glory to his name. Give him glory, people.
Glory.
Amen. Amen. Sing. Sing psalms. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Amen, preacher. Amen. Let's sing. Let's talk of him.
Right.
Glory in his holy name. Amen. That sounds like a good amen right there.
Right.
Glory in his holy name. All the preachers go,
amen.
Amen. Seek his face. Seek the Lord. Seek him continually. And all the people say,
amen.
Amen. That's right. Remember him. Yes, amen. Hey, y'all remember all his wonders? Let's talk about him. He parted the Red Sea, brought them out, amen, and I allowed them to apply that blood to the lintels and the doorposts and brought them out by a mighty hand and parted that Red Sea and drowned up all these Pharaoh and his army in the sea, and all the people said, amen. They're going on and on, and God said, I remember my covenant, amen. I remembered you. I took care of you, and I brought you through from war to war and battle to battle, and I took care of all of you.
Right.
This is glory and goodness and the greatness of God. There's a very important word in this chapter I want you to see. And the word is found in verse number 16. Read it with me. The Bible says, moreover. That's a pretty important word, because what this word is doing, this word is adding. It means to add to, you understand. It means to continue or add to what's been said before. And we're talking about the glory and the greatness of God and all of what the Lord has done for them. And moreover, he said, if I could add something to this. He said, God come in and broke the whole staff of bread. And all the people said, should we? Because they weren't. When that was happening, they weren't. Let me tell you something about this whole staff. When we look at this in verse number 16, hey, three times we'll find in Ezekiel the staff of bread. Staff, singular, staff being broken. Leviticus, a breaking of the staff of bread. In Samuel, a lack of bread. But only twice in the Bible, here in Isaiah 3, will you find the whole staff of bread being broken. The Bible tells us in Leviticus, when I've broken the staff of bread, 10 women shall take your bread in one oven. They shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. If you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me. Ezekiel 4:16, more he said, Son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight. Weight. Y'all got that? And with care, and they shall drink water by measure, and with astonishment. The difference here is that when the staff of bread is broken, it's a portion. But when the whole staff is broken, God is eliminating everything from the land. That is, there's nothing else to fall back on. This is what we find in Genesis 42 when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt. Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look upon another? And he said, behold, I've heard that there's corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. God had taken all the bread, everything was eliminated, you understand, from the land that they might look unto God, that they might look unto the Lord. And the Bible says the famine was sore in the land. In the next chapter, Genesis 43, verse 1, it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said to them, go again, buy us a little food. That is, he said, we have to have something. Everything is gone. Hey, listen, the Bible tells us, he says, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land, and he break the whole staff of bread. And then he goes right into this thing about the man of God across the river, amen. The man of God that is being prepared in Egypt, the man of God that the Lord is going to use. Hey, the Lord was preparing him while on the other side, preacher. God was preparing a people. God was preparing them and getting them ready to go unto a place, to go to a place that he will call them, to go in a certain direction. Let me tell you something, friend. Thank God he answered the call for the family, and the 70 went, because it was there that God will establish his people and a nation that will come out for the Lord and to serve him and to worship him, and he will give them the law. He will give them himself to go before them, his presence to dwell in their midst. Hey, God is going to establish it, but first he had to work in the heart of the people. Let me tell you, sometimes I wonder if God's not trying to do that in my own church. Hey, where I'm at. Hey, I have to say, Lord, I don't know exactly what you're doing. Hey, after COVID, we sat there. I was talking to this preacher here a few months ago, and he was asking about things, and I said, listen, for the first 5 years, we've been there 10 years. And let me tell you, it's been rebuilt twice, Brother Plain. Preachers, a lot of times, pastors don't understand that. They're like, we'll just write him off a bit. What they don't understand, we've been there working, built that thing up and seen people saved and baptized and had it running nearly 70 people. COVID hit. We lost three different families and a couple of different couples and buried 8 people during COVID. And by the time we looked around, a lot of our older people that were actually still tithing, they never even come back. They died in their homes in the next couple of years. I'd sit there and go, Lord, I don't know for sure what's happening here. We've been working a long time. We've been serving you. If he's ever been there. Lord, we've been serving you. Then the people come. I had one or two men come up and they said, what are we going to do? We don't know what we're going to do. They was talking about dispersing and shutting the place down. And this was before we ever came there. And there was a lot going on. I could go into a lot of stuff right there, but listen, I won't. The Lord had to weed out all that junk and get this church well again. Churches don't need a missionary church, a planter or a helps minister. They don't need that because they're healthy. Yeah. They need that because they're sick. We come in and we work. We've seen God tear that thing down to nearly nothing. And then all of a sudden, like a rose bush after it's been cut down to nothing, comes full bloom and starts to come out into its own again. Hey, God, let it come out and come into its own. And I said, praise God. And then God said, we'll cut her down again. I felt like Gideon. Oh, just those that lap, drink by sucking up, don't take those. All of a sudden he goes from 10,000 men to 300. He's sitting there going, this ain't good. I'm sitting there going, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. You know what God was doing? He was breaking the whole staff of bread and he was moving us in a different direction. He had a different people. He had a different souls. This church is, we're 5 years first time, 5 years second time. Now here it is, running about the same amount of people it was. Totally different crowd. There ain't nobody there. I mean, it might be 3 people was there before. We seen 1 year 15 souls get saved, baptized. 10, amen, another time, 5, 6, 7, 8, another year. Hey, listen, over this last 5 years, like God just, he said, let me tell you what I want.
Amen.
Preacher, he had to break the whole staff first.
Yep.
He had to cut us off.
Yep.
Sometimes that hurts.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes it's painful. Don't you know old Jacob was saying, go and get that corn. I've got people coming to me going, what are we going to do? You got us here and we're going to die. And old Jacob was under the fire and he says, you got to do something. You got to go get us some food.
Yeah.
We're dying here. We're struggling here.
Yeah.
Oh God. Help us, oh God. Help us, oh God. Where are the preachers that'll sit in their prayer closets, not getting bitter to a place to where they want to give up? Get along with God and saying, Lord, wherever you're going to move us, we're going to go that direction. We're going to let you have our ministry. We'll let you have our family. We'll let you have our children. We'll let you do this thing, Lord. We are just going to follow you. Moses said that when he come out. He got ready to go into the promised land. He said, Lord, we won't go up. We don't want to go up unless you go before us and go with us. God had to prepare a people. Maybe the Lord's looking to prepare your churches and your ministries. God's doing this work, but you don't like it. You want to put your hand in it. I'm encouraging you today. God didn't have me here for nothing, amen.
Right. That's right.
Take your hands off of it, God says.
Right.
Take your hands off of it. Stop trying to wheel it yourself.
Yeah.
Don't put it on a new cart. But I think my marriage, I could do that. My ministry, I could do that. Oh, we could do this, we could do that. God says, no. Get back to the old way. Let me be God in your life. It's never head bowed, every eye closed. Preacher, you come. I'm done.